Hello, you are listening to Lyrical Audio Candy Tour. This is where we explore books, poetry, and quotes that please every taste. So, come on, let's go. Literary treats await. Good morning, everyone. This is Allie Moon. Thanks for joining me. It is 8:07 a.m. on 3/24/2024. All right, this weekend was our first spring craft and gift show in Eagan, Minnesota. It was actually scheduled for Saturday and Sunday, and it's still going on actually today. Starts at 10, ends at 4, so if you want to go see some beautiful vendors, beautiful products from amazingly talented vendors, it's a great place to go. However, we actually made the call to pull our goods out of the show because of weather, because of the potential of having rain and snow, a really bad storm today. And it's the kind of thing where you have to make that decision and you hope it's the right one. We have so many products that if they got wet, it wouldn't be good. And we were not equipped. At this point, we're not equipped to handle any of that and relabeling all of that stuff. We brought a lot. It just wouldn't be feasible for us. So, and it's 45 minutes away, hour and a half, basically. So whether it was a good call or not, I don't even want to think about it right now because the table fee was, you know, like $80 a day. And so we essentially lost $80 for pulling out today. But that's the thing. Like, even with schools, they have to make that call. Oh, are we closing school or not? And sometimes it's a great decision, and sometimes hindsight, it's not. But you have to make that decision. So that's what we did. I am up, instead of traveling to Eagan, I'm up sipping my coffee casually with my Irish cream creamer and just wanting to tell you about our day. I thought I'd also revisit, and this is going to be embarrassing because it's kind of a rough draft, but with all of our scents at Inkflower, we write little stories on each candle or each whatever product we're giving you. And sometimes, rarely, I'll try to expand on the story. And my idea long term was, if we had a website, to try to create like little short stories. And I am not well versed in short stories because a lot of mine, they're just stories that just really, I've never created an ending. they're really just ideas. And I like to work through that muscle of trying to create imagery and all that sort of thing. I'm not as skilled as maybe some writers were, or well-versed writers, where they're creating plots and they're creating, you know, there's a problem in the story and then there's a solution and then you have the ending and all this sort of thing. I am not well-versed. I would absolutely love to go take some sort of course on story writing. And what's really stopping me? So, and that is definitely on my bucket list. But I kind of want to read you what I have, and it's totally rough, and it might be totally nerdy, and it has a little bit of a Twilight vibe, except there's no love story. it's kind of embarrassing, but it's mine, and maybe you want to kick back and just laugh at me. writing is very intimate. It's a vulnerable thing. It's something that's coming from your creative spot, and it's a very soft and squishy spot in your brain, I think. It's in your mind. It's it's very intimate. So that's what we're going to do partially today. And then I just want to tell you a little bit about my experience at the craft show yesterday. And let's see, what else? I don't know. Any tidbits I can think of before my dance class at 10. Hang tight. Okay, so how it all begins for a craft sale is, especially if it's a two-day sale, is you have a drop-off period. If you have a lot of product, you have to come a day before to drop it all off and maybe even set it up. So when you walk in on a Saturday, it is all done. We have so much stuff that we have to do a Friday drop-off and then come really early on Saturday morning, and we're literally setting stuff out still, even when people are coming into the building to shop. We have scaled it back. My best advice to new people is bring a lot less than you think you need to. I mean, I was given the advice, bring 1,000. Okay, if you have a table fee of whatever it is, you times it by 8, and that's the dollar amount of product. Well, that's really hard to guesstimate. But so we found at our first two sales that we brought pretty much everything we had, and that was a big mistake. It pack up time, it was about 3 to 4 hours. It was an insane amount of back-breaking work. We didn't own soft carts. Soft carts are just these, like, they look like wagons essentially, but they're kind of soft on the inside and on the outside, and they have a structure that allows you to carry heavy objects. Well, anyway, we didn't own soft carts. Thank God they had these little carts that we use to cart in and out, in and out, in and out. It's an insane amount of work. So we bought soft carts, which are about $100 each. We each bought one. So we could cart our tables, we could cart everything we needed to do. We learned that you need to make a rule. So we made a candle rule, 3 candles of each scent. We made a rule of 4 wax melts of each scent. So we brought about a half to 75% of what we normally would bring. And our teardown time was about 1.5 hours. So we have made huge strides. But my sister, my partner in crime, her and her husband went Friday, and they tag team and brought everything in. And I'm like, April, sometimes I feel like what I do for a living, because I'm a manager at a pharmacy, what I do for a living really kind of plays into what I do for my side business. And I'm like, April, when you go there and it's drop off time and they start at 8, it means 8 o'clock. Because I know my sister, she tends to, you know, take a little bit longer, but you know, she's getting better. I said, you know, if it's 8 o'clock, get there at 8 o'clock, not 8:30, 8 o'clock. And, you know, make sure that you're setting everything out, because when we walk in, I just want to be placing product. I don't want to be moving tables around. Because we have learned that if you do that, oh, you're just going to be sweating and you're not going to be pleasant and you're not going to be relaxed and happy to help these people find the sense of their dreams. So yeah, it's been a learning curve for sure. That's why I would absolutely love to form a podcast and try to give people tips on what to do, because we've been through it. And if I can make somebody's life easier, it's insane. It's what we've been through is a crazy whirlwind. So, anyway, so we got there. I had to get up at 4:45 in the morning, traveled 45 minutes to Eagan, got there at a reasonable amount of time to set everything up. We had to reduce the clutter, but still provide that boutique-y type feeling. So we brought little pine cones to put by Woodsman Retreat and Pine Forest Hike and all this stuff, just to really make it feel boutique-y. Where did I learn this? A lot of this was internal of what I would want to see if I was shopping. But if you watch Black Type Barn, who is a big time candle maker, he does a lot of YouTube videos. I've learned so much from him. That's what he recommends: to merchandise, to make your customer feel like they're immersed in this idea and this theme. And that's exactly what I do on this podcast, is try to immerse you in different themes when I read my different poetries and things like that, different quotes, set them to music, really immerse you in the literary, lyrical world, the audio lyrical world, and make you feel something, create this vibe, tickle your senses. That's what I want with everything. So take you on a journey, a story. You can tell a story in many ways, through video, through audio, through writing. Anyway, I digress. So I'm really losing my train of thought here. But anyway, we got it done. People were coming in. We sold from 10 o'clock, roughly 10 o'clock till about 2. And I don't want to say the dollar amount necessarily, but it was a good dollar amount. We offered a buy three, get one free. So our discounts to the customers, like our total amount of discounts we gave, was over $60 discounts. So it was a lot of discounting, but we wanted to do that because we have a lot of inventory. We're there. We want to give people a good deal. And people were so happy. Like the people that bought the wax melts, the candles and the wax melts were the big sellers this time. And soap was in a third place, which soap is very, you never know what's going to happen with soap. It's all about merchandising, where you're putting things, people gravitate. And I will tell you the psychologies of different things in the next segment. But I am so proud of us because for 4 hours of sale time, I mean, we ended at 4, but people really weren't coming after about 2 o'clock. For 4 hours, we did really well, but we're losing a day today. And the table cost was $186. We made table, but not much more, but I'm still super, super proud of our learning how to sell things. My sister was on fire. She was doing so, like, she knocked my socks off. Like, some lady asked for, like, a mahogany oak scent, which we don't have, but we have, the closest thing we have is our vintage bookstore. I made the candle, and I fucking forgot, like, we had something like that. And it happened to be up on our, she was standing kind of right by our bookcase, and she looked over and saw the vintage bookstore. She's like, what about this one? The lady smells it. And she's like, yes, that's it. She bought 2 candles. Look at April go. Look at April go. You know, I was so proud of her. Like, I'm like, yeah. So anyway, okay, moving along. So that was just like, just a little smattering of what's going on or what went on in the day. And then I'll kind of go into, I want to talk about like, where you place things. And you could even use this idea for a garage sale that you're having. You can't just sit back in your garage sale. If you really want to be a great salesperson or a great merchandiser, if you're having a garage sale, which actually in my city, we're having one in May. I'm not personally, but our whole neighborhood is. If you want to sell more, you have to watch people's behaviors and where they gravitate and where they go. And if certain products are not getting attention, you have to move them and you have to put them in the prime location where people hang out. So being very observant of people's behaviors is huge. And actually, this is something we discovered in being observant and everything like that. Black Tie Barn says the same thing. If you feel like people are not gravitating towards certain things, you move them. And you'd be shocked at just by moving a product and where it's located, how much better your sales are. So anyway, that's in the next segment. I've been to a few craft sales. And my style is definitely, I like to walk up to a table. I kind of like to be given a little space so I can just kind of immerse myself into what they're selling. And if I have questions, I want that person to be there and available and approachable to answer them. I don't necessarily like it when people come up to me and start throwing this big spiel at me. So they kind of think that they're being great salespeople, but they're really not. Like, don't throw your spiel at me. It's more of like, try to find what I'm looking for. So we're learning. We're definitely learning. And yeah, it's, I guess from my standpoint of being a pharmacist and trying to pick out over-the-counter products for people, people come to me with a problem. Help me solve my problem. Okay, do you have this condition? Do you have any allergies? Is this for yourself? Like, my immediate question is this for you or somebody else? Because if they're asking for their husband and you're just like, oh, do you have any allergies? No, it's for my husband. That just makes you sound kind of like silly. So I immediately ask, and who is this for? Oh, it's for my 12-year-old son. You know, you got to know who you're dealing with. And so I guess on a regular basis, I deal with people in trying to find what they need every day of my life. And then I go to the over-the-counter section and I pick the product out and I show the options. Well, do they swallow pills? Do they like liquid? So I guess I'm training every day of my life to be sort of a salesperson. It's easier with over-the-counter products because they have a problem and they want to solve it. And you just show them what to buy. Sometimes the solution is not very clear. Like, okay, well, we have this Bengay. It's minty. I don't know if you want to smell minty, but we also have this one. And it may not, you know, give you that tingle, but it's odor-free. You know, you kind of like leave it up to them or what they want to decide to do. And really, that's essentially what I'm doing when I'm picking out a scent for somebody. So they want this and whatever. Hold on, my cat is scratching. My cat is the most finicky cat. We have to make her chicken breasts. Otherwise, she pukes on regular cat food. And then she loves to go into our towel, our linen closet, where we put our towels. Why can't I come up with the word linen? Oh, there she goes, scratching again. That's the way she communicates. She scratches on the wood, and she either is indicating she wants to go in the linen closet or she wants her little chicken breasts. I know, she's like a little diva, a little princess, but, you know, I love her, and we'll just keep giving her what she needs. So anyway, as I'm talking to you, I'm getting her the kitchen with one hand. Kitchen, the chicken with one hand. What was I talking about? Oh, okay, sales. Here we go. Did a lot of research on how to talk to people. Listen to this cosmetic lady who said, in sales, what you do, and I didn't do any of this, by the way, because it wasn't second nature to me and it felt weird. Maybe I was in a mood. I don't know. You're supposed to apparently say, and who are you shopping for? Kind of like what I do in pharmacy. Who is this for? Who are you shopping for? And who else? And then what about you? You need something. They say you should do that. I didn't do any of it. I had all those plans to do this. It just didn't come to me. It didn't feel second nature for some reason. What we would usually lead with and what I usually lead with is, well, what kind of scents do you like? What kind of scents do you gravitate toward? And scents are a very finicky thing because what you think somebody will like, you show them it and they don't like it. Or you show something to someone, you're kind of like, are they going to like this? And they love it. So I would say the hardest thing on Etsy I'm shutting my door because I hear somebody coming up the steps. The hardest thing on Etsy is that people are really ordering things in the blind. They don't know what it smells like. They're hoping it's going to smell good, but what they get is really roulette in a way. You might be lucky and you might not be lucky. And you can read the descriptors and all the notes and you're like, I like bergamot, I like sandalwood, but I don't know if I'm going to like this. So you have to know your product. Like sometimes you'll forget there's so many things going on. but or somebody will say, oh, I love this, but I don't want a soap. I want a spray. Or I can't do candles. Do you have this in a wax melt? Well, the issue that we're having is that we don't have all of the things in all of the things. So sometimes we'll have a soap, but we won't have a wax melt. Sometimes we'll have a spray, but we won't have a candle. You know, there's only so much time in the day, and I work well over 40 hours a week as a manager. So yeah, and I am amazed at what we already do. So I have to pat myself on the back. We're doing amazing. Like, just, we're almost approaching a year for our business, our actual sign up business registering with the state. And I cannot believe how much we have accomplished. I mean, just thinking back, even learning how to design a label, you design a label, you got to still print it. How are you going to print it? How are you going to get it all lined up with your templates? How are you going to, like, do you know everything that needs to be on the label, all the legalities, what needs to be on there legally? Getting the LLC and getting the insurance and, you know, all the logistics of it. Do you know how much to make a candle? I made probably 100 shitty ass candles that sucked. How much wax and how much work I have gone through to get a candle that I could actually sell. All of the testing. I'm just amazed at what we've accomplished. And to know, like, that we now have close to 500 sales on Etsy in 1 year. I mean, I know other people are more successful, and I know that they probably are better at marketing and merchandising and all that sort of thing. But I have to say, I'm very proud of us. So a lot of it is just being observant and, you know, yeah. Anyway, I told you this segment was going to be about merchandising and where you put things. And here I'm just blabbing on. I guess I'm feeling chatty. I guess the whole point of this whole thing is that if you really want to do something, there is a passion that drives you. And no matter how much work it is, how many late nights you stay up, and how many early mornings you have, and how many hours of the day you spend researching, if you really want to do it, it's that passion that drives you. And you can really, you can honestly do anything that you really want to do if you have the passion. Truly, I have no doubt. So, all right, I will stop it right here. And then the next segment, I promise you, I will talk about merchandising. Okay. So, from the small amount of sales that we've done, we have noticed people's behaviors. You will, in 4 hours, we noticed several shopper behaviors. Okay. People absolutely, if you sell wax melts or any kind of product that you want a lot of attention, a very, very tall item, like a bookcase or like a little spinny tower or something like that, away from where you are is going to get a lot of attention. So we have used that idea in two things. We bought a very tall bookshelf and we placed the candles on that. I learned this from just observation, but also I learned it from Atomic Habits, which is a great book, and you should really buy that book. It'll change your life. So if you're going to merchandise anything, you need to place it so that it is eye level. And this helps people in business too. End caps and eye level are the hottest shopping areas. So using that theory and analyzation, the tall tower of wax melts is an end cap. And I just realized that actually now. That is an end cap. It's tall. It's on the end of your allotted space. And people gravitate toward that. They hang out there. And it's away from you. You as the person that they're going to come ask questions of you need to give them space because they want to relax. It's kind of like when you go into, say, Northtown Mall or Rosedale Mall and you're walking into Victoria's Secrets. I hate it when the salespeople come up to me. Can I help you find anything? Oh, fuck you. I mean, I know that sounds so sad, but they're just doing their job. And that's like, that's what I would do at, see, I always like, hi. Like, I don't want to bug people because I hate being bugged. And so, yeah, give them space. Greet them. How are you? Okay. They'll ask you. Honestly, they will ask you if they have questions. You do not want to push them away because some people are really very sensitive about that. And you have to be very conscious of that. So anyway, end caps. So we've got your candle bookcase that has like all of our top sellers, our new things front and center. Hardly ever people will bend down and look at your stuff on the bottom of the bookshelf, but they'll look at it where it's eye level. Okay? Okay. Now, next to the end cap, away from you, now picture a U. Okay, I want you to picture a U, and outside of the U, in the very left corner is where you would stand. Where do you think most people would gravitate toward? Just take a wild guess. That's right. The right end or the right side. That's where most people gravitated toward. And it wasn't necessarily what products we had there. It was the positioning because people do not want to necessarily interact with the vendor because they want to just shop for what they want and they don't want to be bothered. That's my opinion. So when you try to create a real boutique-y style thing and you want to immerse people in an idea or they're just mulling through their brain. Who can I purchase this for? Who would like this? I would like this. Would my aunt like this? Oh, and they're reading the signage and everything like that. They're taking it all in. They don't want to be bothered. So, So that's one method of sales right there is your merchandising. Guess what got great sales this time because of the merchandising? The soap. So what we did was we placed the wax melt tower, and then right in from that was a very small card table. It was filled with soap, which is cold process, melt and pour loofah soap. We had our sachets, which hardly got any attention because I don't think they really understood them. We did explain some, but whatever. We had our signage, our pricing. Just that little corner was great. Our soap did great. This time compared to our other sales. Our other sales, the soap did not do good, not as good because of, I think, product placement. Okay, our candles were in the bookcase. So if you picture the U and we're on the left corner, okay? So on that left-hand U, we had the bookcase. People actually did look through there. They smelled the candles. This time we did not take the covers off the candles because we found that people actually thought the ones without the cap were samples and not for sale. They got confused and they didn't have the gumption to ask. So we left the caps on. They took it just like at Target. You are going to buy a candle. You open it up and you smell it. Oh, I love this. Or no, I don't love this. Right. So, and then if you go into our U, straight back was all of the different candles. We had seashells right by the Relax and Recoup and Hula Girl flowers. We had beautiful scarves, adorning everything. We had pine cones by the whatever. We had this really beautiful turquoise scarf that was kind of flowing like ocean water by all the water-themed Mermaid Love Song and Midnight Swim. It was a beautiful display. If you've never come to our show and you come to it, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. If we had a storefront and we had like a little boutique or something, oh my God, we would do amazing. We would just do beautiful, amazing things. I would love to have like a storefront with a little book section, maybe some little couches where people can sit and read and sample the books. You know, I would love to have a little area where people can, maybe you'd have like little Keurig set up where they can get a coffee. You'd also have your candles for sale. Maybe you'd have some home decor. So it'd be kind of like a place where you could get gifts, but also you could kind of hang out and read some things and maybe socialize. Kind of like a Barnes & Noble, yet with more heart, you know? That's what I would envision if I had my own store. Never say never. Anyway, you know, you could host, in my mind, this is what I'm thinking. You could host candle making things. You could host soap making things. But it would have just, I don't know, just a little bit more of a literary push. Maybe you'd host like a writer's type of convention where you'd have, not convention, but a writer's thing where you'd actually hire somebody who would teach writing skills, and maybe you'd have poetry readings, mic night with mic morning with morning coffee, and come read your poetry. And I don't know, I just think having something like that just makes my mind expand in the possibilities of creativity. You could have not necessarily painting, but you'd have like, I would not do alcohol. I just, being on the journey that I'm at, I would love to provide a space where people would not have to feel challenged by that. Especially people like me who are just trying to abstain, or maybe sober curious people. So I would love to provide a space where you could still have fun, and yet you wouldn't have to feel like you have to drink. So these are my dreams and the things that are swirling in my brain of what I would foresee as being a wonderful place to go. So anyway, that's that. And merchandising, let me get back to that. So apply this to your garage sale the next time. If you notice that you put out these toys that are just getting absolutely no attention, move them. Move them into the right-hand corner of where you are and see what happens. Sometimes it's the price. So if you notice that it's just not selling, it could be priced too high. It definitely could be priced too high. People are very conscious of prices these days. The buy three, get one free sale was a freaking success. And granted, this was the lowest we ever sold our candles at. I think it ended up being their $22 candles with the buy three, get one free, which we had friends that came and they each wanted two candles and they combined their sale together so that one of them got the free candle. And that was a good deal for them. It ended up mathematically being like 14 something a candle. These are artisan candles. I don't know if you understand what this means. I literally hand center every wick and I adjust the wick if it's off. You don't see that in the Yankee candles of today. They center it and they pour it and then it's done. If it's off, it's too bad, so sad. I heat gun everything. I hand dye everything. I put mica on the sides for coloration and shimmer qualities. Egyptians used to use mica in their candles to make them more luxurious. You'll see some shitty things on the internet about, oh, mica, it makes your candles unsafe. That is not true. Mica is a stone. It's ground. You have to be careful where you get it because you can get it like, you have to get ethically sourced mica. It adds a shimmer to your candle. They are the most beautiful candles I've ever seen in my entire life, and I make them. According to Black Tie Barn, mica can be used if you use it in very small amounts, and it does not affect, you know, the performance of your candle if you're careful. I have my skill in making mica candles has greatly improved. I put a lot less mica in my current candles than in my beginning candles. And that's the evolution of being an artisan candle maker. Let's see, what else? What else is cool? I've noticed that my mica candles are 10 to 15, sometimes 20 degrees lower than the non-mica candles, which actually, when you're a candle maker, you have to test your candle, like the actual glass, after a certain time frame. So within 4 hours of burning, you have to test your candle. And if it's around 140, you've done a great job. And I have tested my candles over and over and over. You'll notice on a candle, like there's a seam on the glass. That is the hot spot, I call it. And that might be a little bit higher. But in general, my candles range from 108 to maybe 135, if that. And that's running high. So, and those are the ones with mica. Mica is a heat-resistant product. So when it's dusted around the sides, it's a heat-resistant product. It's not going to conduct your heat. It's heat-resistant. So, it's like little tiny bits of ground stone suspended in the whole thing. And from my experience, and I don't want to say this, but I have fallen asleep with my candles on, and that's bad, and I'll admit it. But to me, these are like the safest candles to fall asleep to. And I don't, like, I'm not saying fall asleep, so don't quote me. But I'm saying, like, I have accidentally, when I'm reading, I really get super sleepy, and I have, and I've woken up, I'm like, oh, yeah, bad. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I'm saying for my candles, I trust my candles. So that's saying a lot. If you trust your own product, that's saying a lot. So anyway, that was really a lot of fucking information. So I had to throw an F-bomb in there just to wake you up. All right, moving along to maybe my story. Around Halloween, we decided to produce some Halloween scents, and we didn't want to go too scary, and we definitely wanted to go creative, but we didn't want to go balls to the wall, like scary blood Michael Myers crap. We wanted to go a little bit more gentle with the Halloween themes. So came up with one called Haunted Rose Garden, created the graphic for it on Canva. If you have a business and you're creating graphics, Canva Pro is indispensable. And it's a tax write-off, so hey, why not go for it? You can put together different graphics. You can layer them, and I had to do like rose bushes. I had to layer a fence on there, like a you know, one of those gothic type fences on the roses, and just really make it our own kind of graphic. And we have this fragrance called the Pink Typewriter, which is roses, passion fruit, carnation, ylang ylang kind of smell. Anyway, we wanted to dress it up for Halloween and created the Haunted Rose Garden. Well, what was on the label is something, oh, I should find it here. I will find it. Let me find it for you, because this is just, now these are hints of stories that we put on our stuff. Let me find it. Let's see if I have it even listed. Haunted. Oh, we don't have it. Shoot. Well, anyway, it's like, oh God, hold on. I'm going to find it. I almost had a heart attack because I couldn't find it. Jeez. Okay, Haunted Rose Garden. Here's the story on the candle or on the poured soap. Enter if you dare. We are not responsible if the bushes attack you. Smell, but don't pick. Violators may be retained for eternity. So what I ended up doing is on a TikTok video, I put together like this little audio thing where it was like somebody had made an appointment for the Rose Garden and they wanted to come in and experience the, basically it's like a haunted house with roses that would actually attack you if you were not behaving. And so kind of started there, and I kind of started to springboard into maybe like a backstory, like what would this be like? You know, what would the story actually be like? So this was the one that I actually expounded on a little bit more than my regular ones. And when you're starting to write a story, you don't know where it's going to go. You just kind of just keep writing and you see where it's going to go. It kind of took maybe a cornier type direction. And this is total rough draft, but I will read you my story. It's going to be story time. So grab your favorite beverage, kick back, relax, and come and laugh at me. Laugh at my creative efforts if you want to. But try to close your eyes and think about the images that I'm going to speak of. And I hope it takes you on a little bit of a journey. The memories of being a little girl walking to school flow into my mind like fragrant autumn winds. Summer was fading, and I could feel a slight chill through my cardigan and plaid skirt as I made my first steps toward a new school year. With almost a religious repetition, I'd walk past this very rose garden every day, even on weekends, making any excuse to get out of my house. I had to see it. I had to smell it. I had to feel it. Just before arriving to the gates, I could see hundreds of rose heads billowing through the bars. I loved reaching out and smoothing my hand over the cool iron bars, and then over the velvety petals, and back to the cool metal. I'd stop solidly in my Mary Janes, taking in all of the natural beauty before me. Birds fluttering by to land on elegant statues in the rose garden, and then they would sing to me in a song. They would sing to me a song. Pairing this with soft trickles of water from the statues pouring pitchers, I felt like the luckiest girl in the whole world. Shifting my gaze onto my chosen bloom of the day, I'd scoop this prize rose into both hands, pushing its softness into my nose, closing my eyes to inhale and transporting myself into a state of delirious joy. I'd hover in this space, and I didn't want to leave anytime soon. As I reluctantly came back to reality, my eyes fluttered open to see the old frail man who tended to his wife's rose garden. We would exchange heartfelt greetings, often waving in unison. But when the old man passed away, things started to change. Things started to get a little creepy. The new owners moved in, arriving in their flashy new cars with tinted windows, always wearing glasses, sunglasses, and fedora hats. Not one man was without a tie or a suit coat. Not one woman was without Louis Vuitton heels and a tight pencil skirt. They definitely had an agenda, and I was going to figure it out. My Sherlock Holmes sidekick days didn't last long, though. I watched from across the street when the flashing neon sign was hung on the gates. I didn't understand why it said, "Haunted Rose Garden." Haunted? What? In this neighborhood? Earl and Mabel were so nice. Why are they doing this to their beautiful rose garden? I don't understand. So I decided to yet again become Sherlock Holmes and call this Haunted Rose Garden myself. It was just a voicemail. One of these Louis Vuitton-wearing women leaving a message for everyone to listen to. Listing all of the rules of conduct before agreeing to the appointment. Don't pick. Violators may be retained for eternity. What? I will figure out what's going on. Even if it takes my savings and all of my piggy bank is emptied, I will stand up for Earl and Mabel. You know, it kind of took a little different twist. And it's funny when you're writing, it's like, I didn't really anticipate that it was going to become this weird, like mysterious, takeover by these very odd people, but that's where it started and that's where it ended so far. I hope you enjoyed. And I hope it wasn't too corny, but that was for me. It was still fun to write. It was very, very fun to come up with that imagery because I can picture the story in my head, and hopefully when you were listening, you could too. So anyway, enjoy your Sunday. I'm going to enjoy dancing, and my goal is to not be late to class today because I do dawdle. So hope you learned something about merchandising. Maybe you can use this in your own garage sale or your own home. You know, they say people will eat fruit if it's set out right in front of your face. So if it's right out in a fruit bowl, there's a reason why people had fruit bowls. Excuse me, I just burped, and I hope we're on good terms here. We're in comfortable terms, right? So if you put your fruit bowl right on the counter of your kitchen, most likely people will actually eat the fruit. And if it's in your fridge and the leftovers are front and center right in for people's faces, they will eat the leftovers. If you have cookie jars in your kitchen and you fill them with Lara bars or granola bars or something more on the healthier side, and you display those for your kids, and I've tried this myself, they will eat them. If they're stuck in a cabinet way in the back, they're never going to see them. Out of sight, out of mind. They'll never know. So you can use this for your own life. All right. Have a wonderful Sunday, and I will chat with you later. I should have separated in two different segments for those of you that love routine. I do this all the time. Why do I do this? I have no idea. All right, have a wonderful Sunday, have a wonderful week, and I will catch you later. Okay, so Saturday we're in Egan, and how it all begins for a two-day sale is my partner, my sister in crime. My sister in crime? Oh my God.